W4DJW. Sounds like it's working. KO4LAO, W4DJW. KN4VWA, W4DJW. Nothing heard. W4DJW clear.
W4DJW, KN4VWA.
Hey, I was just calling you. Did you just get on there?
No. Stupid here forgot that he had the VFO tuned into another repeater and had to switch back to the 610. I'm monitoring, too. So, anyhow. So, what's up, big guy? Oh, I needed to tell you something. Now, this weekend, as far as staying into the late hours, I don't know, because there's a possibility, like you, I may be grandkidding it.
This week, you're talking about field day now, right? Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make that or not. Well, I'm playing it by ear. My air upstairs is still gone. It's still shot. So they had to order a new coil. They took me up there and showed me exactly what was broken on it. So, it needs one. So that's going to come in the later part of the week. And then I got to get that fixed, and then I got a lot of catch-up work to do. But anyway, I was browsing for something, and I came across this BVLOS company. What do you think BVLOS stands for?
Well, give me a context.
The context is Beyond Visual Line of Sight, BVLOS. There's this company called Sensin. C-E-N-S-I-N, Sensin, and they have a program that you can go through, or Sensis, C-E-N-S-Y-S, not Sensin, Sensis, and they have a program that you can go through, and you can, with 100% certainty, you can pass your Beyond Visual Line of Sight waiver from the FAA. And you can fly beyond visual line of sight. I knew it was going to come to that. I knew there was going to be a company somewhere down the line, or it was going to be us somewhere down the line, that came up with a way to work with the FAA so that we could go back to flying beyond visual line of sight. And we can do that now.
Wow. So that's, and it does qualify for fixed wing instead of drone, correct?
Well, so you gotta use drone in the right context. Drone isn't a Mavic that you buy from DJI, but I know everybody calls those drones. It's not a quadcopter that you buy from DJI. That's not a drone. A drone is something that has the ability to think and make decisions and make good decisions. And when it makes a bad decision, recognize that, not make that bad decision again, make the good decision the next time. And those don't have the ability to do any of that. So it's not really a drone, but it's got to be a quad or a fixed wing. It's got to be an aircraft, something that flies. It could be a hot air balloon, for all that matters. But it does have to have some obstacle avoidance on it, so that if it sees that it's going to fly into something, it can turn or stop or back up or whatever's required to avoid a collision. That's one of the FAA requirements to get a beyond visual line of sight waiver.
Okay. Can we do collision avoidance on a fixed wing at that speed?
Yeah, I got a link I'm going to send you. This Sensis Sensis team, they've got two airplanes, and they've got a trailer, right, that they put it in. They do demos, and they've got their beyond visual line of sight waiver already, so they can fly as far out as they want, or as far out as they're, you know, halfway out of their battery, right? But you don't want to reach the point of no return unless you've got, like, a landing spot somewhere out there. But they can do it already, and they've got demos of how they do it. You can request a demo. And something I was looking about showed somebody requested that, and they got a demo of it, and they took some pictures of it, and they put it on Facebook. But I'll send you a link to their Beyond Visual Line of Sight waiver approval, you'll be able to go from there. But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's no longer taboo, forbidden. There's a way to get there.
Okay. Well, are they, structurally, are they using a repeater? Or how are
So they've got two, and one of their applications, they've got two airplanes, and in one of the two airplanes applications, the one that has beyond visual line of sight rating, they have a guy on the inside of their trailer and a guy on the outside of their trailer. So one of them, yeah, I guess there's two people that can fly it. You can hand off between transmitters. And I guess they've got goggles on. One of them's got goggles on. The other one is inside a trailer, so the sun isn't going to be a problem, so you don't really need goggles. He just flies off of the four big monitors. There's four monitors. I guess there's four cameras out there on that airplane or something. And he's got probably more substantial transmitter. Like if he's a ham radio operator, he can go up to 1.5 kilowatts, 1.5 kilowatts, whereas the other, you know, guy standing with on the ground with transmitter in his hand, well, you're not ever going to get a handheld transmitter to transmit like that.
Okay, so that in effect eliminated the need for our repeater on station.
No, not really, because VHF doesn't bend around corners, no matter how many watts you're pumping out. You still, if you want to fly low, you still have to respect the 10% rule. You just have a more solid connect. It's wasteful to use that much, right? Remember what the FCC says. No more than you need. And if you can talk to a satellite on a tenth of a watt, you don't need 1.5 kilowatts to talk to an airplane, right? So we got to think that through. You follow me?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So basically, we would get our waiver from them and then use our repeater concept, and we could go right on about our business, right?
Well, we followed their course on how they got beyond, and they give a course for that because they've achieved it. So they're one of the first. They're a pioneer. So they are helping people. They've got a website that you can go to, and you can learn how to apply for and gain. You learn all the things that are required, and then you do them. And then they all look at what you've done and say, yeah, that qualifies, or no, you got to fix this. And once you will learn from them, then we go apply for it. Then we can. Now it's up to us to be able to control our aircraft when they're, you know, at further out than the 10% rule allows for the height that we are. That's up to us to do.
All right. Hey, I'll be looking forward to that link that you're going to send me, bud. And by the way, you remember I had kind of sort of put a delay on my purchase? Well, we won't go into any details on the air, but I am extremely encouraged simply by the effect that I gained by what the doc said to do. We won't go into that either, but hey, I'm very encouraged. It's hey, the needle pointing north. You know, I'll know for sure in August, but hey, I'm doing good, so I'm really feeling like going ahead and getting those FPV goggles now.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good news. That plus, well, I haven't done any work on that. You know, I've been working on the other stuff, the TDOA, and the air conditioner went out, so that's taken away from my time on that. And baby was born, and I got a great grandbaby that's about to be born. So all that's delaying my ability to get into that. But I thought I'd share that with you. That's encouraging. And sooner than expected, I figured it would happen. I didn't know who would make it happen, but I figured I'd share that with you. That's really good news.
That really is. So, you know, hey, that way we can be fully qualified if some ding-dong like our buddy up at Campobello comes up and says, "What are you doing?" Back off, butthead. We're qualified.
Yeah, if you hear Jim on here, KO4LAO, let him know too. And I was looking for his, I had a chat with him somewhere. I was just looking for it. I was going to send him that link as well. But if you hear him on here, let him know. That's good news. I got some work I got to do in the attic preparing for the air conditioner. So I'm gonna, when the cork gets here, so I'm going to go get to that. But just wanted to share that. Nice piece of information for the morning. It's shaping up quicker than expected.
It is, and that is good news. And if I hear Jim, I'll make sure that he knows about that. Now, I don't have an email address on him, but I'm sure you do, don't you?
I have one. I have to go find it. I don't know where it is, but I have a mobile phone number that'll take text messages, too. And I found it, but it's mixed in with somebody else. I got to figure out which one of them's his. And then I'll send him this same link I'm going to send you.
Fantastic, man. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that's cool. So in the meantime, still going to see the Grand this weekend?
Depends on whether we get that. That all depends on those guys that are working and when the core gets here and when they can install it.
Uh-huh. I know what you mean, because that is a priority. You got to get that done, because all your work is upstairs, isn't it?
For that one, it is. And they also explained to me why I've had so much problems with that one. Back 12 years ago, that was a brand new system, and Linux had moved all of their manufacturing south of the border. And they thought it might be a good idea to mix copper and aluminum in a coil, a heating and air conditioning coil. Well, you know, bimetallic causes expansion and contraction at different rates. And that's why that thing just leaks all the time. So since then, they've switched back to all aluminum. They're not, and that made all those problems go away. So I wasn't by my lonesome. That thing's been a problem for 10 years. It just springs leaks every other year. And I've been very frustrated with it. So hopefully this will put that to rest for a while.
Okay, well, and not only the different rates of expansion and contraction, but you do know that opposing types of metals can accelerate oxidation in aluminum and cause breakdown in the material.
Yeah, before I switched over to a major of computer science, when I was in Clemson, I was doing mechanical engineering, and we were on sacrificial metals. And that is, it was particularly around big ship's propeller. And they'll bolt one type of metal onto another type of metal, so they sacrifice that metal to protect the other metal. So, yeah, bimetallic strips also, they're really good for making blinkers. But they're also really good for preventing corrosion on the protected metal at the sacrifice of the sacrificial metal. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, and 4VWA. Yeah, they do the same thing. It's a sacrificial metal that they attach to the aluminum foot of boats that go out into the ocean, the salt water. That way the aluminum is not broken down, but it's a, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's a magnesium alloy that's the sacrificial metal in that particular application, and that's that little metal block that can be detached from the side of the foot that's down in the water all the time. So, and that's why those look so bad all the time. So, anyhow, yep, an interesting concept. Well, hopefully you'll get that core in. They'll be able to get you fixed up by about, you know, Friday, so that you guys can head out and go see the Grand. And, oh man, I'm looking forward to seeing that, link that you're going to send me. Is there a cost on that course?
Probably is. I haven't looked yet. But even still, I mean, if they passed it, they've developed the course, you can take their course if you want to short-circuit it, or you can do what they did to pass it, right? Go look up the FAA requirements for beyond visual line of sight and see. So you can do it the cheap way or the expensive way. I imagine it's going to be kind of expensive to get them to teach you.
Well, you have to thoroughly check that out, because a lot of times the do-it-yourself route is generally, sometimes it's longer and in the long run more expensive than just going ahead and paying the fee and having the research already done for you. So, we'll just have to check into it real close.
Exactly. Depending on how much they charge. You know, if they charge a few hundred dollars, no sweat. If they charge $30,000, we can do it on our own.
At $30,000, we gonna definitely be doing something on our own. Oh, me. All right. Well, hey, hopefully we'll be able to get together, and I'll show you my new Transit Connect. And I'm going to be working. I'm hoping that if I'm not tied up with a grandbaby, Sunday afternoon I'm going to be trying to engineer my removable platform for the rear of this vehicle, so that I can haul. I'm thinking probably in the neighborhood of 4 aircraft.
After we talked, W4DJW, I think the repeater ID'd a minute ago. After we talked, I thought about that, because I've looked at those like you're talking about before, and I thought about a shelf that folds out, one that folds out on the left and one that folds out on the right, and they're staggered, and then one that folds out on the left and one that folds out on the right, and they're staggered, and so that you could fold out for low-profile airplanes. You could probably fit 6 of them in there. For high-profile planes, you probably fit 3 of them in there. But, you know, shells that fold out, they go all the way across, but when they're all folded up, the whole back end is open. I was thinking about how I would tackle that same chore that you're talking about.
Going down that same concept road. But more than likely, what I'll wind up doing is setting a four-leg platform in there, and I've already got some foam core, hard surface covered foam platforms that I can set back in there that are real nice finish. And I think that's going to do the trick for me. I think it's going to look pretty doggone good. So, anyhow, I'm going to take the very far back 2 seats out, and because it'll be unusual for me to carry more than 4 people. And then the middle row seating, they fold down very low. So that should give me enough space to put 2 on the bottom level and 2 more or 3 more on the upper level, you know, just depending on which aircraft I stack in. So, like I said, I can't wait to get it all stuffed and cuffed and try it out.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got that worked out. That'll make that a whole lot easier. I'm going to go back to my stocks. Stock market was closed yesterday, and they're open today, and they are bouncing back with a vengeance. So I'm going to go back over there and study them some more. But anyway, I was reading that while I was waiting for them to climb, and they are climbing now. They're climbing significantly. I think the Dow is up how much? 500 points already. And it's been just going down, 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 down. So finally a rebound. Hopefully some people think that this is just going to be a little bounce and it's going to continue to fall all summer into the fall, but hopefully not. Hopefully this is the rebound we've been waiting on. Anyway, good talking to you this morning. Get back to work. KM4VWA, W4DJW.
Go in there, watch them close, and remember today's wooden nickel advice. Sell short whatever Steve buys. Later, guys. Enjoyed it. K and 4 VWA. I'm clear.